Welcome to the MDS podcast. I am Sara Camargos, associate editor of the podcast. Today, I have Professor Alessio Defonso, director of the Movement Disorders in Clinical Hospital and University of Milano. Professor Defonso and his group were awarded with the Movement Disorder Journal Paper of the Year. The paper was titled Harmonizing Genetic Testing for Parkinson's Disease, Results of the ParkNet Multicentric Study. Thank you, Professor, for being here with us.
So thank you for the invitation to the podcast.
Yes, it's a pleasure for us. Could you please tell us a little bit about the paper of the year?
Yes, of course. So it's a paper from the Italian network of the Institute of Research and Science. And in this, let's say, study, the six major institutes following patients with Parkinson's disease shared the results of genetic testing. And then we aim to analyze these results in order to try a way to standardize the methods for the analysis in the diagnostic settings, and also to harmonize the interpretation of the variants, and also how to report the results to patients in a harmonized way. And this is a very hot topic, so this was the aim of the study. And in the study, we showed that harmonizing the approach for the diagnostic setting, some of the interpretation, some of the results of the first phase before the harmonization were different than what we had after the harmonization. So I think that this is very important for patients, for clinicians, that they may have a network behind these results that is working as a team and is giving the same type of results with the same methods to patients.
Of course. And then revise this diagnosis, because as we are having different classification on the variants, it's important to revise this new classification. Sometimes one variant was of uncertain significance, and then it becomes likely benign or likely pathogenic.
Yeah, this right? is a very, very important point. And we did already with some patients. When we follow the patients, we update them on the, let's say, information that we have about variants. And with some other, maybe we need to inform and to write in the report that the variant is a variant of an unknown significance, but in time we will update the information and also the patient about the new possible classification of the variant.
Interesting. And this happened with some patients, right?
Yes.
So it's important to revise this, especially this variant of unknown significance, periodically. And what about the age of your patients?
Yes, so a specific study, we decide to analyze the gene test of patients with the, let's say, more earlier onset. We put a cutoff at 55, which, let's say, is not the ones that is usually used to classify as early onset, but still with this approach we had more results of the gene test to analyze for the harmonization. And the reason was also that most of the patients with the earlier onset undergo genetic testing, yes, for sure, more than the late onset patients. So this also was one of the reasons why we selected patients with earlier onset D.
And interesting, because when you compared the very early onset, you said in your paper, less than 40, you have different index for the frequency of the mutations, right?
Yes, it's right. We observed that before the patient that had onset before 40 were enriched in Parkin mutation, in PARK2. And of course, that was expected, but we confirmed. And why patient with early onset, but before, let's say, 55, the most common variant that we found was GBA1, which is a risk factor for Parkinson's disease. It's not a Mendelian, let's say, form. It's not fully penetrant, but still it's a risk factor with some phenocharacteristics that may be more common. And also, we think now it's very important to know that patients are carrying such as variants because they may be enrolled in clinical therapeutic trials. And so for young and juvenile and early onset patient, this is very important.
Yes. And you highlighted also that in PARKY2, most of the variants were CNVs. And did you do some pipeline for analyzing it? Or what did you do?
Yeah. So a single institute was doing, and for duplication and deletions of Parkin, the approach was the MLPA, the multiple ligation, that was used in diagnostic, is set for diagnostic, is certified, and so was used in the diagnostic setting. So we combined the MLPA to analyze the duplication and deletion in Parkin and the NGS approach for the point mutation. And we found that 50%, more than half, were indeed
CNVs.
Yeah, CNVs.
And does the NGS could reach all the same results of the CNVs?
Actually, not in our case, of course, because applying the panel with the pipelines that we had, heterozygous deletion or heterozygous duplication were not detected. So it's very important to have another technique to confirm, especially for diagnostic, to confirm. Now, of course, we are going to more advanced pipelines of analysis also in genome sequencing that may be able also to identify the heterozygous duplication and deletions, but it's still a good, especially in diagnostic setting, it would be good to confirm with an independent technique.
Yeah, so the clinicians have to be aware that some mutations only can be assessed with MLPIA or other instrument to see deletions, larger deletions, or duplications, right?
Right, that is very important. And if it's not on the report, they have to ask the genetic
analysis.
For
yes.
Diagnostic.
And how many institutes did you enroll in your study?
So we start with institutes because they were the institute that collected already the diagnosis already done. But now this is expanding, and the Italian network, the name is CNET Project, and it is Italian network that was funded by the Ministry of Health to, let's say, to a collaboration between all the institutes in Italy that now are sharing all the information of patients and also the data. And this, of course, is increasing the robustness of what we are observing. And the future is, of course, in this direction, not only in our experience in Italy, but worldwide, as is happening with all the consortia, like the GP2 and all the studies like the PD gene that are really showing that the network of institutes are providing very important data, especially in the field of genetics. It's important to have collaborative works.
Of course, but you in your country could award the Ministry of Health, and everybody is working together with the goal to benefit patients. But do you think the most important lesson of your study, if you have to pick one very important thing from your paper, what would it be?
I think that last point is the most important. Creating network between institutes, supporting the network, sharing the results, the genetic, the data, trying to harmonize the interpretation, that whatever is coming as new, for especially in diagnostic setting, to be able to give the same type of results, robust results to patients in the harmonized way. I think this is the most important.
Definitely. And then harmonize data as well, just environment or clinical data. And perhaps we find a lot of good, interesting things, right?
Yes, right. And also for this, the same project is ParkNet is collecting in a harmonized way also the data of patient clinical data, family history, all the exposure, and also longitudinally. So it's not the future, it's the present.
It's the present. The longitudinal data is extremely interesting and important.
Yes. I have to say that in this project, all the support that the Ministry of Health, all the institutes, all the collaborators from the genetic part, especially Enza Maria Valente and me that work together in this project, Pietro Cortelli that was coordinating the ParkNet project, and all the other neurologists from the institutes in Italy did really an amazing job.
Wow, it was a real pleasure to meet you and talk to you. I really appreciate your time being with us, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society or their affiliated journals, Movement Disorders, and Movement Disorders Clinical Practice. Any disclosures of the participants can be found within the episode description located on the MDS website.